Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
This Friday, school children from around Ireland will go on strike, and for a cause that their parents' generation simply aren't doing enough about, the fate of the planet they will inherit. Dr. Lorna Gold from Meneath University is one of the organisers of the Global Climate Strike. Lorna, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Sean.
Now, you've been there yourself for quite some time, outside the Dáil.
16 weeks now, and counting.
Could you tell us then about Greta Thunberg? Who is she, and what did she do?
So Greta Thunberg is a 16-year-old teenager from Sweden, and last summer she decided that she was going to go on strike every Friday from school. Now, she didn't have any permission from anyone. She literally decided she would stand outside the Swedish Parliament and really to call time on our generation and our inaction on climate change. And she's been there every Friday ever since. And in a sense, she's sparked a global movement now with tens of thousands of young people, children, and now also adults, parents getting on board to strike or to do action every Friday.
And how did her particular strike suddenly get such traction?
I think she just captured a moment in the sense that Greta has Asperger's as well. That's part of her story. And I think it's a huge gift that she has, because she's able to talk in a way that is so direct and in a sense has none of the normal airs and graces towards adults. So she has said it like it is. She gets her best advice from the best scientists in the world, and she really is embarrassing the adults and tapping a nerve, a raw nerve that's there. I think before Christmas when they Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, these are the scientists, came out with this new report. It was called the 1.5 report. And it really hit home that we're almost out of time when it comes to taking the kind of action we need. When the scientists say that we have 2 years left to make the kind of, to start to reduce our emissions. And we're not doing that at all. Like, we're all still flying around to wherever. And
we haven't even flatlined yet in terms of emissions.
We're not even flatlined. And Greta calls it out like it is. And now thousands of others who are doing that as well. And that's why they're all we're all having this global action on Friday.
Now, what do you hope to happen on Friday?
So there are over 1,000 events happening across the world now, and in almost 100 countries. And here in Ireland, we're going to be having some major marches. These are organised by the Schools Climate Action Network, which is a network of 100 schools who have come behind this initiative. So there's a march in Dublin, which will start at 12 o'clock on Stephen's Green and march around to Leinster House. And we're hoping there'll be a really big turnout of schools, secondary schools, pupils, but then also adults with their parents, with their kids, other people who want to get behind the students. And then there's currently 21 other events planned around the country. And they're all, you can look them up on schoolsclimateaction.ie.
Right, okay.
To find out.
And a lot of, certainly in the Irish context, a lot of the children, it's with the cooperation of their schools.
Yeah, that's the vast majority. Obviously, we can't say who will actually turn up on Friday. And I think the Taoiseach's remarks in the Dáil last week were seen somewhat as a green light to students to take the day off.
He supports it and he thinks
he supports it. And he said fair play to them for coming out and taking action. So, but the actual event is being organised, properly organised by the Schools Action Network. And a lot of local events. I come from Maynooth, and the third level colleges are getting involved as well. The students are going to have a walkout from Maynooth University. The staff in Trokra, that is based in Maynooth as well, are going to come out. And then the local tidy towns in Maynooth have got behind it. And yeah, they're a bit of a powerhouse in Maynooth in getting people out.
Now, there's always a danger with these kind of protests that parents' generation would say, isn't it great? The young people are protesting about the environment and then get back into their diesel car and drive for 3 hours.
Absolutely. And that's, I wrote a book, Climate Generation, which is my own story really about waking up to what our children are going to face as a parent, because you're absolutely right. There's a huge risk that we, in our 40s, like myself, give the kids a pat on the head. But the reality is the kids cannot solve this problem by themselves. They can put it up to us. But when I say 2 years to start to for our emissions to start to decline, and then by 2050 we have to have transformed our society into a low carbon society, those children will hardly be out of college by the time those decisions need to be not just made, but we need to see the results of those decisions enacted. So to me, it's a huge thing. The challenge is that the children are putting up to us. The big thing is for the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles and everybody else who cares about the future to step up now and join them if we can. But as well as joining them, then put it up to ourselves to say, what are we going to do? How are we going to change and become low carbon citizens?
Yeah. Is there an element of denial about this?
Huge, huge. And I mean, in Climate Generation, I talk about my own story. And I mean, I've worked for Trocar for almost 20 years. I've seen the impact of this all over the world. And yet, it was only when I had my own kids, I started to kind of get into that kind of emotional response to it, to say, God, this is actually happening. My kids are 7 and 9. By the time they're teenagers and into their 20s, they're going to face the full brunt of climate change. So the denial is real because it's uncomfortable. We're talking about changing things that we like. Like, we all like to go for our holidays. We all like to go on those short breaks. We all like to drive around in our diesel cars. So, but we can't deny it any longer, I feel. I feel as a parent, we need to actually say, listen, we can do better. We can do better than this for our kids. And there are things we can all do and things we can all cut back on. For example, our meat consumption is a big one. There was the Lancet report on this came out before Christmas. And I know it's controversial in Ireland with all our beef and dairy, but the reality is, if we want to move towards a low carbon future, we need to start to have those serious conversations at a political level and at a, let's say, a community level on how we make that transition.
Yeah. And while I suppose people could do things, can do individual things, I mean, it would seem we're in such so at the border of a crisis that we need bigger gestures than, you know, quite dramatic steps have to be taken, and which can't be taken at an individual level or even groups of individuals. This is going to have to be governments, international agreements.
Absolutely. You're so right. And I would say we are in a crisis. If you look at what's happening, we might not see it so deeply here in Ireland. But if you look at the forest fires, the temperatures rising across the Indian subcontinent, East Africa, the chronic drought situations that are forcing many people to flee, the rising sea levels in the Pacific, which are forcing whole communities to rethink where their future is. The crisis is here. And the dramatic measures that we need, they require us as community, society, to be behind governments that take those measures. In France, we saw a big reaction to that with the Gilets jaunes and the petrol prices being hiked through the carbon tax, the very flat kind of carbon tax, blunt instrument that was put on the diesel in France. How are we going to avoid those societal crises in the future, or not in the future, in the coming years? But also put in place the kind of policies we need. We need to increase our carbon tax, but how do we protect the people who might not have the resources to take on that burden So it's a complex situation, but I guess what this Fridays for Future and Climate Strike on Fridays is doing quite successfully is putting this up to the top of the agenda. We've got so many agendas out there, Brexit and all the other ones that we have to cope with on a daily basis. So how do we make an issue like this that can always go on the back burner come to the forefront and then have the political will to change things? One of the positive things I've heard from friends who are out canvassing for the coming European and local elections already is that this is coming up on the doorsteps. And as someone who's been campaigning for climate change issues for almost 20 years, that's to me one of the most positive signs because it's never been a doorstep issue.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to see it. It's coming as a doorstep issue. The plastic thing is coming as a doorstep issue, and so is climate change.
Because I suppose even in Ireland, people could notice. I mean, the last few weeks, one minute it felt like it was early summer. Yesterday it was, there was snow last week, so you don't even know what season you're in anymore.
I know. I've got a new name for a season, and it's Sprinter.
Yes. What do you think about nuclear power?
Nuclear power could have been an option. Like if you were on the side of nuclear power and took all the environmental considerations
but as
into,
I mean, even if you're kind of a bit leery, given where we are right now.
Do you know, the problem is now that within the timeframes that we have, so the 2 years to flatline emissions and then the drastic decline that we need to see.
You're not going to build one in that
time. You're not going to build one. You see the problems they're having in the UK now around the planning. And then nuclear power is not a free source of power. You need power to power the nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
When we have so much free energy available and that we could be making so much more use of, one of the successful schemes I've seen recently, which again gives me quite a lot of hope, is the Sustainable Energy Authority's community energy schemes, where local communities can come together and apply for grants and supports to look at all the ways to have more sustainable energy at a local level. But one of the mad things about that, for example, thinking of the school strike on Friday, schools are exempt, or they can't. Schools cannot apply to put solar panels on their on the school roofs. Now, how good would it be if the schools?
That's right. Wasn't there? There was some. I think it was a school in Dublin. What they wanted to put solar panels in, and then they did a project on it, and then
absolutely,
they found that they couldn't do it.
So the kids understand this. They're doing their science projects on it. And yet then there's these obstacles. So that's one simple thing.
Are there, I mean, you know, Leo said, oh, it's great, I support them. That doesn't mean he's going to do anything. What would you like him to see him do rather than utter platitudes or tell us what he's doing already?
Well, I think that we need to see this plan that he's been talking about that's going to come out at the end of this month. So there's the cross-governmental. We had the National Mitigation Plan with all its 107 objectives, very few of which were actual actions. And now there's the cross-governmental plan on climate action. I mean, I would like to see him really implement what was the agenda of the Citizens' Assembly, which was a fairly radical agenda in terms of the carbon tax, in terms of the increasing public transport, grants for cycling infrastructure, renewable energy, a feed-in tariff for solar power, making the planning system a lot easier and a lot more community-based in terms of solar energy. I'd like to see him really engage with the young people as well. They came to Leinster House last week, a group of 40 of the young people who are really at the forefront of the strike on Friday. And sorry to say that none of the government turned up to meet them when they came to the Doyle, and they knew they were coming. That they need to, I think the first thing is to engage with these young people. And to hear, no matter how difficult it is to hear that, because behind every young person as well, there are adults. And I read your article in the Irish Times at the weekend. And I think what we can see is that the stress that these children are really feeling on their shoulders now is translating into the opinions, the views of their parents as well. And it's influencing the parents. So I think that any politician to me worth their salt now will take this seriously, take this global march seriously and what happens in Ireland. And the other thing to say is that it's not going to go away. The climate strike that I started outside Leinster House 16 weeks ago, we're going to be there as long as it takes. And until we see a step change in the action that the government's prepared to take.
Well, any politicians who are listening, they're coming back this Friday. So perhaps you might consider sending somebody out to meet them. There are events all over the country. Obviously, there's going to be a big, there's going to be a march and a collection outside the Dáil in Dublin. But there are many other places.
So there's another,
there's
a big march down in Cork as well. And then there's many, many local marches, and they're just constantly being updated on the website. So the website to go to if anybody's interested in finding out about it is schoolsclimateaction.ie. And there you'll find a map. And if it's not on the map in your local town, then get your placard, make your homemade sign and get out there and start.
There you go. Schoolsclimateaction.ie is where you look it up. If you're a child, go on strike this Friday. Lorna, thanks a million for coming into us today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.